This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm guessing, Paul, and I would say likewise about you and me, big October baseball guy. Paul's Yankees in the tournament again this year. Although, it's weird for those teams that get the byes, right? Like, they have their seasons wrap on Sunday, not even necessarily with meaningful games, and then they open on Friday, which is just... except for the All-Star break. Like, you just never have that. The rhythm of the baseball season, you know, it's almost every day. And so, I don't know, Paul, like, you're probably not too worried about this, but the top four teams in the postseason all have to wait, like, 4 or 5 days to start.
Yeah, I'm not quite into baseball yet today because my yard desperately needed me.
All right.
I've been out there. Didn't quite finish, but this is a nice break. I can go out and finish when we're done, and which is fine. And so, I haven't really gotten to... Although I tried to make Howard Simon feel better earlier, and I think I succeeded. I told him the World Series would be the Mets against the Tigers. I tweeted that to him. So he was all excited about that.
Oh, yeah, because you're always right. Yeah.
We know how you love to make predictions.
For all your your unwillingness to make predictions, you're sending Howard predictions now. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, Mets Tigers.
Right.
I told him to get the car gassed up because we're going for the World Series. We're driving there for the Mets Tigers. So who knows? Maybe I'll wind up there.
Your yard, by the way, needed you for what? Mowing?
Lawn cutting, edging.
Yeah. Good for you.
Hedge cutting. There are things that I really have not been too
good
diligent with lately, so I needed to get diligent.
Good job. Well, we're happy that you're taking a break from that. The Sabres announced their roster moves today. I mean, we know that, you know, the team and a few extras are in Europe here for the start of the regular season and have been there for almost a week now, I guess. So some of these were to be expected, but they've got 27. The roster right now is at 27, and that means a few scratches for the opener on Friday. What are your takeaways from the moves, if any of them are interesting to you? And, like, what do you think they'll do with, you know, the lineup on Friday?
Yeah, not at all surprising, any of them, because they're 27 with them. So those are the top 27 right there. So we already knew who the top 27 were. So everything that we saw today was totally expected. And the thing is, too, which I don't think is fair to the rest of the league, quite honestly, I don't mind them having 27 there, but it's not fair that the Sabres and Devils get to choose from a roster of 27 for two games and the rest of the teams don't, because rosters don't have to be in until next Monday, and the Sabres and Devils will already have played two games.
Right.
So they can keep the 27 as is. And the thing is, it's easily, you do the rosters before those two games are played. On paper, you send four guys down to Rochester, but they're still there with you. So if somebody gets hurt on Friday, you can call them up, you know, because they're there with you.
Right.
So I don't know. I just don't think it's quite right that two teams.
Well, sure.
This is the NHL. They get to, you know, whatever.
You're carrying extra guys, and it's a time of the year where teams are pushing guys through waivers that have to go through waivers to get to the minors. And, you know, teams might like to claim this guy or that guy or whatever, and not having to do that with these extra four guys. There's maybe some benefit to that, from the Sabres. You know, if, for example, they get to a point. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Paul, is what do you think they plan to do with the goaltending, right? Levi doesn't have to go through waivers if they want to send him to Rochester, but if they want him to be here to pair with Lukanen, Reimer, unless you want to carry three again, and we've done that dance two seasons in a row, for crying out loud, Reimer has to go through waivers, but he's not going yet. And not that I'm the teams are lining up going, oh, I got to get my hands on James Reimer. But, you know, injuries, whatever, you could have a team out there that feels like they could use another veteran, but he doesn't have to go yet, and that's a little bit of a break.
Well, the one thing they have seen is Sandstrom cannot play. I don't even know if Sandstrom can play in the AHL.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be quite honest with you. I don't understand the signing. He wasn't any good in the NHL, the AHL, and what was it, 4, 5, 6 years in Philadelphia, and mostly in the minors, and they picked him up. And if you're keeping three goalies, he's your starter in the AHL, and you're done. That's not going to work. So because Ratzlav goes back to junior,
mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not like he's around. He had a pretty good camp for them, so that was nice for him. But, and the thing is, they've told us who the two goalies are without telling us. Reimer has not played at all in the preseason. Nothing. So if he was going to be the backup, or if they had any thoughts of him being the backup,
mm-hmm.
he would have played. And he has not played at all.
So would you guess that said that their hope would be that when this is all over in Europe, they'll be able to get him to Rochester and that's where he's going to be and he's, you know, break glass in case of emergency up here?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you're right. That three-goalie thing is just... It's no good for practice. It's no good for anything. And I know Reimer hasn't been in the minors since 2010-2011 season, but I'm sure he was well aware of the situation here mm-hmm. when he signed. He's not blind. He follows the league. He knows the Sabres are pushing two young goalies. So I think I would guess he knew the score before he got here. So I just don't think three goalies works. And I just think, if you want your minor league team to have any chance of doing anything without being deflated all the time, you got to get Reimer down there. He's got to be your goalie down there. So, and the thing is, he'll have time to get going once they would send him down. Once they get back and send him down, he would have time to, you know, get ready for the season down there.
So, as you're saying, because of the Sabres being in Europe, like the climax here isn't these roster moves. It's who doesn't play in Friday's game, right? Like Kulik would be the guy, just like last year, actually. He would be the guy we might be talking about the most often, whether he makes it. Well, we're not going to exactly know, but he's right there. I mean,
he hasn't been playing the exhibition either, so he's not playing. Clegg's not playing. Reimer's not playing. Rusick's not playing. The question is Krebs your one man out? I mean, because you got two extra D, so Bryson and Gilbert probably aren't playing. I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they played in the preseason. So, you know, if for whatever reason they don't want Clifton to play and they want to throw one of those guys in, they could do that. But the question is, they got 13 forwards. And they were able to dress 13 forwards for the preseason game because those are European rules. You actually they could have dressed Kulik if they wanted to. They could have dressed one more guy.
Yeah.
Because Germany did. But they just elected to dress the extra forward. And Krebs has been the extra forward the whole time. So if we fast forward to the first game, that's giving me an educated guess that he is the scratch along with the two defensemen on Friday.
Right, because what I noticed, I mean, the game was happening while we were on the air, so it's not like I got to sit with it and you know, make notes on a big yellow legal pad like I'm Howard Simon or something. But I noticed Krebs a couple of times with Paterka and Thompson, I think, playing a wing. In the game against Red Bull on Friday, so like that tells me like he doesn't have a line really, right? I mean, you know, McLeod is your third line center, Lafferty I think with Malenstein and Albe Kubel is going to be your fourth line, so I don't really know where I'm putting Krebs.
Yeah, the Lafferty line has come through just as advertised. I don't think they're touching that. And yeah, what are you going to do, sit McLeod after you traded one of your best prospects for him? I mean, I don't think you're going to sit him in the first game. And Lindy Ruff talked about Krebs. Lindy Ruff has been pretty honest in evaluating players, and he likes his work ethic. He likes the way, you know, everything, except he says at times he gets on the wrong side of the puck. He goes, and that's what they got to work on with him. So there were things in his game that he wanted to work on. And practice, for the most part, has been the same way, too. It's like he fills in a line somewhere. You know, the lines go through, and then he goes through, you know, as an extra with somebody else, with one of the lines on the second time through. So it just, unless there's an injury that we don't know about, it just would surprise me with the way he's been used in practice and preseason games if he were in the lineup on Friday.
So if folks aren't, like, haven't been aggressively following along here, it's been a little tough with the, you know, the sort of the Rochester Sabres playing these games here in North America. The real NHL team is over here in Europe. But the lines, the way they look through these preseason games, Paul, Paterka, Thompson, Tuck, no surprise. Cousins with Quinn and Benson. Is it McLeod with Zucker and Greenway then, right?
Yes.
I feel like this is as solid as an idea as we've had of what our lineup is going to be in a while. Like, I feel like there's been like more uncertainty than this at this time of the preseason in other years. But that's pretty locked in.
It's pretty locked in, and without making that extra trade for a top six guy, that's basically when I sat down in May, those are the lines I wrote,
right.
You know. Well, I don't know if McLeod was here. Once McLeod was here, those were the lines that I wrote down. I mean, to me, it was pretty easy. I'm no genius or anything. It just, that's the way it seemed to fit. It's like, oh, if you're not going to go out and get a top six forward, it's between Zucker, Benson, and Greenway. My mind, all right, I'd give Benson first shot. 18-year-old, double figures in goals, maybe, and he's always been a goal scorer. I asked Lindy Ruff about that. You know, guys that have scored goals at every level, yeah, sure, when they're 18 years old and come in, maybe they're not going to score 20, 25 goals or whatever that might be. But he said in his experience, yes, they do tend to start scoring in the NHL also as they get a little experience under their belt. So what happens in his second year after you get double-figure goals in the first year? Can he approach 20? Can he start scoring goals in the NHL like he has in other leagues? So that's why it just made sense to me that now, you know, Zucker had a different role in Arizona after, you know, scoring goals with Pittsburgh the year before. Now, that's a lineup that has Malkin and Crosby and the rest of it. They basically put him in a leadership defensive role, Arizona did. So he totally had to switch his thinking from what he's always done. And now I was just reading an article, you know, he talked over in Prague and said that, you know, he wants to get back to that, you know, he feels, you know, he can be a useful top six guy, a guy that can get over 20 goals because, you know, he's not being asked to do that same role anymore, you know, that he was asked to do in Arizona when his goals went down. And if you look at his numbers, he did a good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his analytic numbers and those types of things were good. So he actually changed his role and did a good job of it, but he feels he can be more useful.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. The Sabres open Friday at 1, pregame at noon here on WGR. We will have the game. And their second game, by the way, is Saturday morning at 10, our time. That's the trip. And then the home opener a week from Thursday against LA, and that game is at 6 a.m.
I think that'll be our earliest pregame I've done, a 9 a.m. pregame.
9 a.m. No, I think it's a 7 o'clocker, that Kings game, just in case anybody thought I was serious. Paul, the overall takeaway from you on the Lindy Ruff experience so far, being back, has he been different to talk to, you know, as you've observed him running practices? Again, they've been away here for a bit, but you saw plenty of their work when he was here. What are some of your observations?
I love the way both Sabre teams in this preseason worked. That's why the Amerks were in every game. Even the game they lost 6-3, they had a 2-0 lead. At the end of two periods, they had a 2-1 lead. That was an even hockey game. It wasn't like they were getting outshot 45-10 and had a goaltender standing on his head. Yeah, their goaltender Ratzlaff played well, but I think he only faced 20 shots. And, you know, they had the lead and deserved the lead. And then they put a goaltender in Sandstrom who couldn't make a save to save his life. And they wound up losing because of that. So they, with the hard work they put in, you know, and that was against an NHL lineup. Columbus dressed their NHL team with maybe two exceptions. So, you know, that was against an NHL team that they did that. And it's just because they work and they work and they work. And the other day, the Hellenius line hit a against Detroit, had a horrendous start. Detroit had a breakaway 15 seconds into the game, and a few seconds later had 2-on-1, got a layup and a goal. And the Hellenius line was out there with Rozan and Nuchev. Just a horrible shift. But it's, to me, it's what do you do after that shift? And they got back totally. Young players, they didn't brood about it. They went out, started working. Near the end of the period, they got in on the forecheck, really, really got in hard. And then Nuchev got in hard on one of the defensemen, basically stripped him of the puck, walked in and scored. So that impressed me right there. And then who scores the overtime goal at the end? Hellenius. So that's what impresses me about they're buying into what Lindy Ruff is selling. Now, you ask me how he sounds. If I'm being quite honest with you, I have thought to myself, it's like he looks exhausted. He doesn't look or sound good to me. And that's just my impression. I'm not saying he's sick or anything else, but I have to say I am a little worried about him because he just isn't what I used to see with Lindy Ruff. He just seems exhausted every time he goes to the podium, and, you know, it just seems like everything's a bit of an effort for him. So I hope he's okay. But he certainly is getting his point to his players, that's for sure.
It seems to me, Paul, like, you know, just buzzing through the box scores as these games are unfolding, these preseason games, they did a pretty decent job, I think, you'll correct me here if I'm wrong or even way off, of suppressing shots, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they did not give up a lot, it seems.
No, I mean, last night they outshot Detroit 44-21. You know, Sandstrom played that one game. He faced 16 shots the game he won, made 14 saves. And so that's the thing. They're buying into the defensive system from top to bottom. Now, the regular Sabres, they hardly played any. They played two AHL teams and a team that might be as good or worse than an East Coast League team.
Yeah.
Now, but that's not their fault.
Right.
They don't make the schedule. It's not like they sit there and draw straws out in the parking lot afterwards and who they're going to play, or they draft teams to who they're going to play. That's the schedule. But they did what they were supposed to do. In all three cases, they blew them off the ice because they went out there and worked hard. When they did have a little bit of a lull, they figured it out quickly, and it didn't turn into, well, we're starting the third period, we're down 5-0, and, well, we just scored two goals in the first 5 minutes, 5-2. I think maybe we can get all the way back. How many times did we see that movie in the past X amount of years? You know, so it's just, they've had a couple of lulls in preseason, but
sure,
they figured it out quickly.
Seeing as how we were thorough about the forward lines, let's just do the same with the defense. You already mentioned you expect Bryson and Gilbert and Clegg to be like the guys on the outside looking in. What do the pairs look like, and did Lindy get his left-right thing that he seemed to be looking for?
Yeah, he did. And that's kind of why I didn't have Samuelson in my top four. I think Samuelson is a top four defenseman, but if you do lefty-righty, you can do it on two of the three pairs. What I didn't know is who was going to be with Dahlin. Was it going to be Power or was it going to be Byram? Byram on the right side, I don't care what they tell you, he does not want to play the right side, and I've watched him do it. He does not do it well, and he knows that, and that's why he doesn't want to play the right side. I know it's been said by other coaches and other, maybe the GM, that he doesn't mind playing the right. Yeah, he does. He doesn't want to play over there. Power, I think, does a pretty nice job over there. I don't mind Rasmus Dahlin over there, too, and the numbers back both of them up. They don't back up Byram playing over there. So I didn't know exactly how that was going to work. And then Byram wound up with Power. I've liked it. I think it looked really good. Power seems to have really worked on his game. Yeah, I thought he came on the second half of last year and played pretty well. And I think he's even better from what I've seen in the preseason and practices this year so far. So now that those two are together, Joakim Harju, I think, had his best season last year. He's paired with Dahlin. They've played together many times before. But it gives you that left-right. You might say, well, wouldn't Samuelson be better there? Well, yeah, maybe. But now you got either Joakim Harju or Clifton playing the left side, and I don't want either one of them playing the left side as a right-handed shot. I know Clifton can't do it very well. They tried it. Didn't work. So I would rather maybe go this way And maybe that takes a little bit of the heat off Samuelson, where he doesn't get himself into bad spots where he gets himself injured. He's not maybe out there quite as much. And maybe that will help him stay a little bit healthier and help them a little bit more.
Well, Paul, the big question is, you know, the playoffs. And we're just getting started here, but it kind of makes it easy for what your goal is this year. There's nothing complicated about it. Getting in is it. You know, the rough move is meant to take them that final stride into the playoffs and anything else. You know, if you win there, great. But to end this seemingly interminable streak of years without making the playoffs at all, like, that's the only thing on the table.
Yeah, and I think two things. First of all, Luukkonen needs to play like he did last year. He's only done it for 1 year in the NHL. I think he can. I'm not expecting him to fall off, but I also wasn't expecting the whole team to fall off last year either. And all but maybe three or four of them did. So you just never know. But if you get Luukkonen playing like he did last year and you get this team to continue night in and night out to give the type of efforts that we've seen during the preseason, I think they make it. Because those efforts mean, I think Tage Thompson is back being a 40 to 45 goal scorer. I think he's more of a 45 goal scorer than he is a 30 goal scorer. So I think you could get him back going again and back up there. And I think if you keep Quinn healthy, I think you get him around 30. Who knows where Peterka can go? 28 last year. Can he do better? I think he probably can, because Lindy Ruff has some ideas how to make him a better player. So, you know, if they continue to play in the defensive zone like they are and put forth the effort that they've put forth, so we're not sitting there listening to multiple games, well, we got outcompeted. Yeah. To me, that's an internal thing. If you get outcompeted, that's on the player. That's not on the coach. That's on the player. And this coach, if you get outcompeted, I think you're going to be sitting up in the stands. So if those two things happen for the Sabres, I think if they aren't in the playoffs, I think we're going to be talking about maybe the last day of the year, them either, you know, getting in or not getting in. But I think if they do those two things, I think they make it.
Back to work, Paul. Do you have special sneakers for when you cut the grass and work outside, you know?
Yes, I do.
Old sneakers?
Sneakers probably I used to wear, like, I don't know how long. I mean, they're falling apart, but they're my grass-cutting sneakers.
Grass
they used
shoes.
To be white, now they're green.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I do wear special nice. Equipment to go out and be in the yard.
Makes a lot of sense, I think.
All right, protect your eyes, Paul.
All I do, because I wear glasses all the time.
All right, good. You know, you get that weed whacker going, you never know what could come flying up there.
A
you
pebble.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Something like that.
I wear old motorcycle goggles all the time when I'm out there using that stuff, and I get hit every now and then. I think, like, good thing I got the glasses on.
Good to be safe, Paul.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Public service announcement. Paul, thanks a lot for this. I'm sure we'll be gearing up to talk to you a lot more often as hockey season is upon us. Paul's reports here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Ian Rappaport says Devontae Adams has told the Raiders he'd like to be traded. So we kind of thought that. We've been talking about him already today, and this isn't, I don't know if this counts as official, but it's a step in that direction. Ben Solak tweets, Bills, in my opinion. Whether that's just the fit in his mind or maybe some inside information, couldn't tell you. I think we should be talking about this. 803-0550 if you want to do that with us. Ross Tucker. Ross went to Vegas for Browns Raiders last week, and at the end of our conversation last week, what's this thing about the coach calling out players for business decisions? I'm like, Devontae Adams, Ross, go and find out and come back, report back next week. So we'll have Ross today in about 40 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.